Where are the jobs and where aren't the jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In just about 40 minutes, we'll get the official jobs report from the government for the month of June. It'll tell us how many jobs were created last month and what the new unemployment rate is. Estimates are the economy added north of 100,000 jobs last month. But the growth isn't happening everywhere, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
All spring, the economy has been performing dismally when it comes to creating jobs. But in the past few weeks, some of the economic news has turned around, signs of manufacturing and retail rebounding. The euphoria is not universal, though.
I don't think anyone is expecting us to be creating jobs at the pace that we really need.
Lawrence Michel at the Economic Policy Institute says even at the optimistic end of the current forecasts, it's not enough job creation to reverse years of recession.
So any employment number that comes in, less than 200,000, is definitely disappointing, and we need to be reducing at least 300,000 jobs a month to move the unemployment rate down at a rapid pace.
Economists expect healthcare to keep hiring workers, but with housing in a prolonged slump, construction jobs aren't coming back. And today's report is likely to show state and local government continued laying off teachers, firefighters, and others amid budget cuts. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Well, the House of Representatives is hoping to finalize a $650 billion defense spending bill today. And after a vote yesterday, funding for Libyan rebels who are trying to oust leader Muammar Gaddafi won't be part of it. That means no weapons and no training for the Libyan rebels from the United States. For more on the significance of this, let's bring in the BBC's Paul Danahar, who is with us from Misrata, Libya. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how do you think this vote in the U.S. House is going to be felt among the rebels? Is it important to them?
It's very important because the key thing they need here are arms and ammunition. They have plenty of men willing to fight. Often they're going to the front line sharing rifles. So the kind of staggered approach to this war is simply due to the fact that when they collect enough ammo, they can fight. When they can't, they stay where they are. And there's a lot of impatience from Western people to get this thing moving, and it won't move unless there's more things to shoot with.
Well, if they're not going to get weapons with help from the United States, where are the rebels getting the money for the things they need?
Well, some of the ammunition is coming from Benghazi. Some they're capturing on the ground, and some is being bought, and it's being bought by the local leaders and the businessmen who moved with the public here against Gaddafi. So it's very much a localized affair here.
Paul, how long do you think this fight against Gaddafi is going to continue?
It's going to continue, I suspect, for many weeks. And we've got Ramadan coming up in August, and that worries the rebels a lot because it means that their fighters are not going to have full strength during the day when they want to be fighting, because they will have been up all night because they fast during the day. So I think it will drag on for quite a while. And the thing that will keep it dragging on is a lack of ammunition and a lack of arms in the hands of the rebels.
The BBC's Paul Danahar in Misrata, Libya. Paul, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across Europe and Asia this morning, and so is the supply of big pickup trucks sitting on the lots at U.S. car dealerships. All the American car makers are reportedly having problems selling big pickups despite healthy sales of smaller cars. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on another 93 points to close at 12,719. The Dow is up almost 10% for the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
In just a matter of hours, assuming the weather cooperates, Americans will get one last look at a space shuttle launch. NASA's 30-year shuttle program is coming to an end with the launch of Atlantis, and the program's conclusion has launched another debate about America's role as a high-tech and innovation leader and the long-term viability of the knowledge economy. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Atlantis will haul 3 men, 1 woman, and 30 mice. Amgen is testing a bone loss therapy on rodents freed of earthly possessions like gravity. It may yield a medicine someday, and it turns out the shuttle program has spawned many innovations. Artificial heart pumps, better insulation, golf ball with distance. Dan Lochney works for NASA's chief technologist.
We've been out innovating. You know, got to the moon first. We've been out building. We've got some of the greatest supercomputers and largest wind tunnels. Take a look at the space station. You know, we're ready to take up that call.
It's a long list of breakthroughs. Still,
I think the list would be longer if the shuttle was able to fly more frequently.
Howard McCurdy at American University says the shuttle was meant to fly often, like the old airline shuttles. Just clean the ashtrays and go up again. But the spacecraft proved too fragile, denting the visions of the 1980s. Like?
Oh, we're going to have these big, large solar arrays in orbit, and we're going to have these huge platforms that can monitor the Earth. Those technological innovations were lost as a result of the infrequency of flights.
Future space travel may open to NASA competitors like China and private companies. Makes sense, says Josh Lerner at Harvard Business School.
Think about the internet or biotechnology, where the only venture capitalist in town was the federal government. And over time, we saw private sector pick up the activity.
Many say the key is the picking up, that NASA's big shuttle bet is followed up by private and public investments in high-risk, shoot-the-moon science and technology. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, CBS's ratings for its national broadcast of Boston's 4th of July fireworks display were up 22% over last year. And now we know one possible reason why. The Boston Globe reports this morning that the network altered the images so it looked like the fireworks were being launched right behind famous landmarks like Quincy Market, the Massachusetts State House, and Fenway Park, angles that would have been physically impossible. CBS, by the way, still came in a distant second in the ratings to NBC, whose fireworks broadcast was legit, as far as we know. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Rocket science company SpaceX has goals that you might call astronomical.
I think that we should be focused on establishing a self-sustaining human civilization on Mars.
I'm Tess Vigeland, and out of this world conversation from the corner office with the CEO of SpaceX, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.